Just appreciate the invitation to be back this morning. If you will, you can turn your Bibles over to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. It may not be too exciting of a Sunday school lesson. It may be rather short as well, but we're going to attempt to use the time we have this morning to lay the foundation or kind of be an introduction to the message this morning. I wasn't necessarily sure if we were going to do it this way, but I'm afraid we won't get through the message if we don't. So we're going to spend a little time in the book of Ezekiel here. We're going to start reading in chapter 3 and then flip over to chapter 33 if you want to find both of those places there. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 16 and just read a couple verses. And he says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." And then flip over to Ezekiel chapter 33, if you will. And this is where we'll spend the rest of our time this morning. Ezekiel 33, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. He says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." We're going to spend just a few minutes we have this morning talking about the watchman and kind of looking at who he is and kind of dig down into what his job really was, and then the morning service will try to make application to it. But we see here in Ezekiel 3 and then again in 33 that Ezekiel was given the task of being a watchman. The Lord had called him out for a specific duty in this specific role. In Ezekiel 33, we begin to see exactly who this man should be. And so we want to look at a few things. We want to look at the watchman's character first of all. You know, who is this watchman? Who is he supposed to be? Who is Ezekiel supposed to be? And we see that, first of all, he was chosen. Again, in Ezekiel 3, it says that the Lord chose him to be a watchman. And then in verse 2 of chapter 33, he says, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, Take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman," at the end of that verse there. But they were to take a man of their coast and set them for the watchman. So the watchman had to be somebody chosen. It wasn't somebody that just spoke up and said, you know, "I want to be the watchman. I want to do this job. I'm going to go ahead and take control." The Lord said they need to set someone. They need to choose someone from among their people and set them at the watchman. You know, again, Ezekiel was chosen by God to be that watchman for the nation of Israel. And he gives instruction to the nation to set their watchman to guard their coast. So he was somebody that was chosen. But we also see that he was somebody from within. This watchman couldn't be anybody. It couldn't be, you know, one of their neighbors, somebody from another country. It had to be one of their own. It had to have been somebody within the nation of Israel. And there's various reasons for this. You know, we know in the physical sense, the watchman was to be the first line of defense. You know, he was supposed to watch for the enemy approaching, and if the enemy approaches, he was supposed to sound the alarm, which we'll get to in a moment. But if he wasn't somebody from within their borders, he would have no idea who belongs. The watchman had to know who belonged in Israel, who belonged in their nation, and who didn't. He had to know who usually comes and goes, whether somebody's coming to trade or sell things, and he had to recognize the people. So you wouldn't want just anybody being the watchman. It had to be somebody that knows the surroundings. And this morning we're going to make application to the church and to the Lord's churches, and specifically this church. But he had to be somebody from within those doors. And that watchman also had to recognize who was coming and going, but he also had to recognize battle. He had to realize what it looked like when war was about to start. In verse 3, it says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land. And that phrase there is just talking about when he sees an enemy approaching. And the enemy's coming and they're going to start a battle. They're going to start a war. He had to recognize those signs. If he didn't, you know, we all know the story of the boy who cried wolf and those false things there. If the watchman didn't know what battle looked like, he might have sounded the alarm for no reason, causing panic or distress there that was undue, that was unwarranted. So yeah, he had to recognize the battle. And this morning, when we look at it from a church perspective, you know, the church watchmen, they need to realize when the enemy's approaching, what the enemy looks like. And I can't remember who said it, the famous, I can't remember who it was, but you made the phrase to know your enemy, that you had to know who your enemy is. You have to keep them close. You have to know who their enemy is. You have to realize what they're doing. And I know it's not always a very popular subject when we talk about it, but we need to know who the devil is. You know, we don't like to study the devil. One of my previous pastors always made mention, when you study Satan, that's when he attacks you the most. When you start to expose who he is and how he operates, that's when he tries to get us the most. But we need to know our enemy. The Bible talks a lot about the enemy that we face, and we need to recognize it. We need to recognize the tools he uses to rise up against his people. And this watchman here in the nation of Israel, he had to realize when their numerous enemies, whether it have been, you know, the Babylonians or the Egyptians, anybody else that comes against them, they had to realize who they were and how they came about and attacked. He has to know these things. So his watchman, he had to be somebody specific. He couldn't just be anybody. He had to be somebody that was chosen, somebody that was within, that knows their borders. He has to know where their land starts and where the enemy's territory ends. He needs to know those things. And then we get into looking at his charge or his duty, his what he's supposed to do, his job, if you will. And it's pretty obvious the watchman is supposed to watch. We see that in verse 3 that he's supposed to be watching for the sword. He's supposed to be watching so when he sees the sword come upon the land, he can warn the people. So his first duty is just to watch, to be diligent and to be sober, to be sober-minded, to not let things distract him. You know, in today's day and age, in this world, there are many distractions. My attention span is not very long, to be honest with you. I get distracted pretty easy. I can't stay focused for too long. But the watchman had us to stay focused. They have to watch for these things. And you know, what would happen if this man would sleep on the job and the enemy came and approached them? You know, he needed to be watching and waiting and be diligent in those things. And probably more important, his job was to warn the people. You know, what good is a watchman if he doesn't warn the people? You know, he's there for a specific purpose, to let their soldiers know the enemy is coming. Verse 3 again says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. That was his job. His specific duty was to warn the people, to sound the alarm, if he will. And in verse number 8 again, he says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Look at his job. He was to warn the people. And if he didn't warn the people, as it says in verse 8, those people were going to die. They would perish. They would fall at the hands of their enemies if they were taken by surprise. He says, thou shalt surely die. And if they shall not speak, if he doesn't speak against it, we see that he has the consequences. The end of that verse says that their blood is going to be on his hands. The watchman only had to watch and warn the people. He had a very big responsibility. And that's not always a responsibility we want to take on. Because that's something pretty scary to think about when you think about it. That somebody else's blood can be on your hand because you were sleeping on the job or you weren't watching, you weren't being diligent, you weren't being sober-minded. But this watchman, he had a watch. He had to warn the people, sound the alarm when he saw the enemy approaching. And this morning as we look at it, and that's the job of the watchmen of the church. They need to warn the people. When they see the enemy approaching, they need to warn it. They need to cry out against their enemy. And then we see in verse number 7, his job wasn't just to watch and warn. He wasn't just supposed to speak out, to sound the alarm. In verse number 7, he says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." He had to warn them from the voice of God. The voice of God. Oh, sorry. I don't know why this keeps doing that.
28%.
There we go. 24%. Maybe not. Sorry.
60.
Come on. There it goes. So he had to warn the people, but he also had to listen. He was supposed to give a specific warning. He was supposed to warn them from the Lord. Ezekiel wasn't just running around and saying whatever he wanted to say. He had a specific message from the Lord. The Lord said, "I am going to warn you about what to tell the people, and then you need to tell the people those things." So the watchman needs to listen. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'm kind of like Paul in many ways, that I'm quick to speaking. You know, we always want to jump to the condemning the wicked. We always want to jump to just looking down upon the world and talking bad about them. But the Lord says to give them the message that I give you. When Jonah went to Nineveh, he wasn't supposed to preach what he wanted to preach. He was supposed to preach the warnings from the Lord that they were going to be destroyed unless they turned to the Lord. So the watchman needs to listen. And then we see this watchman. Sometimes we can cry out against somebody. We can show someone their sin. We can preach against it. We can try to lead someone to Christ. But those people have a choice. You know, the people have a choice in all this. The watchman does his job, and hopefully, as we look at this morning, that we as watchmen do our job well. And the watchman can do everything he can. He can watch. He can be sober. He can be diligent. He can be waiting. He can sound the alarm. He can listen to the Lord and give the warnings as the Lord delivers them to him. But the people are going to have a choice. And their choices are either to ignore the watchman or to listen to the watchman. In verse number 4 of chapter 33, he says, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." So we see that the people here, if they choose not to listen to the watchman cries out against their enemy. He proclaims the enemy is coming. And if the people decide to brush him off and say, "Well, I'm not worried about that enemy. I'm not going to listen to you." And it says that if the enemy comes and they end up killing this man or this woman or these families or this people, then their blood is on their own head. It's their own fault. You know, how many times growing up did my parents warn me about something that, "You're going to get hurt if you do this." And then usually I did it and got hurt. And my parents had very little sympathy at that point. They told me not to do it. You know, we tell our kids not to touch the stove because it's hot. And usually that kid is going to go touch the stove and they're going to burn their hand. And if anything like my parents, they, you know, you got what you deserve. We told you not to do it. We warned you. And that's kind of your own fault. It's kind of like the Word of God. We read the Word of God. God tells us what not to do, what's harmful for us, but yet we kind of test the waters a little bit, don't we? We touch the stove, so to speak. We play around with sin and we get burned. And that's on us. We can't blame the Lord for not warning us because he did. And that's on them. So they cannot listen. They can ignore him and they'll perish. Verse number 9 says, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So the wicked, they choose not to turn away from what they're doing. And there's two applications here. In the first few verses, he's talking about the physical, the physical watchman of their physical safety. And then these last verses, they're talking about the spiritual need, the spiritual watchman, which Ezekiel was, in fact. He's supposed to watch out for their spiritual well-being. But he's saying either physically or spiritually, if they're warned and they don't listen and they perish for whatever reason, that's on them. We could think about that the lost. If we do our job and we warn the lost of their condition, we preach out of love and we try to share with them Christ, if they don't listen, it's not on us. Isn't that what Christ told the disciples, that if you go into a city and they don't receive you, just wipe the dust off your feet and carry on. Their blood is not on your hands in that scenario. But then we have their option to listen. If they choose to listen, they choose to heed the warnings of the watchman. And if we jump down to verse number 19, we see what goes on there. He says, but if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. So the people have a choice. They either listen to the watchman or they don't. They don't listen, they perish, and it's on their fault. Or they listen, they turn from their ways, and he says, and they shall live thereby. You know, again, we could think about Jonah going to Nineveh, preaching against that great city, and Nineveh had two options. They could have ignored Jonah, which was what Jonah wanted them to do. Jonah wanted them to be destroyed, but they took the other way. They decided to listen to Jonah, and the Lord saved their city. He preserved them. He didn't destroy them like he said he was going to. And that's the choice of the people. You know, if you're in this room and you're saved, you were faced with those two choices. You could either listen to the scriptures or ignore it. You could listen to the Lord or ignore him. And thankfully, if you're here today and you're saved, you chose the latter. You chose to listen to the Lord, and he saved you from your sins. If you're here today and you're lost, you have those same options. You can either listen to the warnings, you can listen to the scriptures, listen to the word of God, and turn from your sin and be saved from them. Or you could perish in your sins. But we see the watchman also has a choice in this whole scenario. The people have a choice to listen, but the watchman has a choice as well. The watchman has the choice of either staying alert, staying awake, and doing his job, or he could choose to slack off and not do his job well. He could fall asleep. He can do those things. And then he has a choice of when he sees the enemy approaching. He could sound the alarm, ring the bells, and shout and jump up and down and try to warn as many people as he can. Or he can choose just to let it go and not warn the people, to not perform his duties. But we see that choice has a very big consequence in verse number 6. He says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So if the watchman see the sword come, the watchman stayed alert, he did his job, he's awake, he sees the enemy approaching, he sees them coming with signs of battle and war, and for whatever reason, this watchman decided not to blow the trumpet. He decided just to let things go and see how they play out. And a lot of times we do that in our lives. We see things about to happen. Or we see the world as we're going to look at this morning and in regards to the church. We see things begin to creep into churches. And we decide not to say anything about it. We just decide just to brush it under the rug and hope it goes away. It never just goes away. The Lord says if you do those things, if you just brush it under the rug, if you decide just to wait and see what's going to happen, the enemy's going to come and the sword comes upon their land and he's going to destroy the people. But in this scenario, it's not the people's fault. He says the blood of the people or your blood is I'm going to require at the watchman's hand. He's responsible for it. He's going to be responsible for those that have died in that matter. We think about that in terms of battle and things like that, any general or any good sergeant or lieutenant, whoever is in charge of a group of men, if they're any good at what they do, they take personal when one of their men die or one of their men do something, especially if they did their job well. But they need to warn them. They need to warn them. Take care of the men. Take care of their city. This watchman had to take care of the nation of Israel. Warn them. And if he didn't, the blood was going to be on his head, on his hands. And it's like that when we're out in the world. You know, we're supposed to be witnesses and testimonies wherever we go. And if we do our job well, others see Christ in us. They see our witness, our testimony. And they're dutifully warned. They're warned about their wicked ways. Just by watching if we're acting the right way. But if we don't warn them, if they don't see Christ in us, if they don't see our or hear our testimonies, you know, their blood is on our hands. Now, ultimately, we know that they should just know the Lord by looking around creation. But we have a duty to be watchmen. That's what we're going to get into this morning. We have a great duty to be the watchmen of this country, of these churches, of God's people. And if we do our job well, the result is on them. It's in God's hand, but it's up to the people to make that choice. But if we don't do our job, the consequence falls on us. And we'll look at that a little bit more this morning, but we need to be watchmen. We need to watch out. We need to warn those. We need to see things coming. We need to recognize the battle signs and warn the people. And if we don't, the consequences are going to be on us. Let's pray and be dismissed from Sunday school. So, Father.